Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to the Lighthouse Church. My name is Matthew Williams, and I'm the pastor here, and it's our joy to see you on this beautiful summer day in worship. Thank you for bringing the church into this building. We do have a beautiful building here at the Lighthouse Church, but you are the church as followers of Jesus Christ. So thank you for bringing the church into this place for this meaningful time of worship today. If you would take a moment and pass the registration pads that are at the end of each pew and register your attendance with us. You can also leave a happy little note in there if you would like. If you're a first-time guest, if you would also register your attendance with us, we would like to get to know you and learn how we might can assist you in your Christian journey and how our church can minister to you. And also at the end of the service, if today is your first Sunday with us, as you leave, if you will notify the ushers, they will give you a gift showing our appreciation of your worshiping with us today. I also want to mention that tomorrow here at the church at 11 a.m., we will have a celebration of life service for Mary Louise Bowe, who is a lifelong member of the Lighthouse United Methodist Church. Served in music ministry here and in many different capacities over her entire lifetime. I believe it was from when she was 11 years old to 70. So that's a stint of service, I might say. So if you're around and in town tomorrow as members of this congregation, I would invite you to come and show your support to the Bowe family as we celebrate her life. Also, if this morning, if you have a prayer need that is on your heart, there are prayer cards located in each pew, and you could fill that out and place it in the offering plate. When the time comes, we would appreciate that. We would like to join in prayer with you. The prelude signals the beginning of our worship, and before we hear this wonderful music, let's bow our heads and pray together. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open. All desires are known, and from you no secrets are hidden. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Good morning. Please join with me in our responsive call to worship. Come, Give to the Lord your praises of thanksgiving. Sing with great enthusiasm of God's might and power and love. It is a wonderful thing to praise God. God is glorified in our music and worship. God's praise always be in our hearts, lives, and voices.
In which we stand, and by which we are saved. Christ died for our sins, was buried, was raised on the third day, and appeared first to the women, then to Peter and the 12, and then to many faithful witnesses. We believe Jesus is the Christ, the anointed one of God, the firstborn of all creation, the firstborn from the dead, in whom all things hold together, in whom the fullness of God was pleased to dwell by the power of the Spirit. Christ is the head of the body, the church, and by the blood of the cross reconciles all things to God. Amen.
Thank you.
You may be seated.
Say thanks for the things you have done for me, things so undeserved, yet you give to prove your love for me. The voices of a million angels could not express my gratitude. All that I am and ever hope to be, I owe it all to thee, to
thank you for that, Jackie. How wonderful. This time in our service, we go to the Lord in prayer with our thanksgiving, with our petitions, and with those things that even in our hearts we may not utter a word about to anyone else. We know that God hears us, and we trust that God is here with us. This morning, if you have a need that you would like to share with all of us, I would invite you to do so at this time. Jimmy Robertson. Pray for Jimmy Robertson's family, a longtime fishing guide who has passed away. Amen. Anyone else? Any praises that you would like to share this morning? I have a praise I would like to share. I spent 2 days this past week with in Lakeland at a conference meeting of mentoring candidates for ministry, and got to spend time with Reverend Lauren Dunkel-Dancy, who is the chaplain at the United Methodist Children's Home. And she praises God every day of her ministry for Lighthouse Church and for all that you have done missionally for the children's home. It's about Jesus Christ, and it's about sharing Jesus Christ with the children that live at the children's home. And she is so grateful and wanted me to extend thanks yet once again to each of you. So we praise God that we have that as a part of our connection today. And I would invite you to pray this morning for all of the children at the children's home. As we sing Spirit Song, those of you that are led, I would invite you to come join me at the altar this morning as we kneel and pray together as a family. Holy God, we gather together today as your people, and we extend to you a very good morning. We thank you, O God, for the way that you protect us, for your love and for your grace and for your mercy, for the sun that rises each morning, giving us light. For the air that we breathe, for the food that we eat, for the clothes that we wear, Lord, you have blessed your people. And we say thank you. Thank you for your blessings. We praise you and worship you. We adore you. We glorify your name. We pray this morning that we would sense your presence here with us, because we know that you are here. We pray for the requests that have been mentioned this morning in the service and all of those requests that are on our prayer list. We pray that you would hear our prayers, that you would answer our prayers, that we might see testimony in the lives of those who have asked us and entrusted us to pray for them. Come, Holy Spirit, into their lives. We pray this morning for the things in our hearts that we dare not mention to anyone else. Many of us carry deep pain and hurt, and we lift that to you, O God. And we pray that your Spirit would give us comfort and bring us healing and peace. And we pray for peace around our world, that we might extend your peace, peace that passes understandings, peace that breaks down cultural barriers, peace that breaks down walls, peace that heals the soul. May we carry that to your world, to those places that we have been called to be your disciples. And in those times that we do not know what to pray, we pray that we would remember these words: Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. I would invite at this time our ushers, if you would come, as we receive the giving of our tithes and offerings. As we give today, this is an act of our worship. We give out of the joy of our salvation. And I want to thank you as your pastor for your investment in God's kingdom here in this local church, in this local community. But we could not be a ministry without you. It does not go unnoticed, and we thank you. Let's give this morning with joyful hearts out of our love for God. Amen. Please be seated.
Good morning. From our scripture, we begin with 2 Samuel, verses 6 through 15, with one omission. David again gathered all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. David and all the people with him set out and went from Baal-Dale, Judah, to bring up from there the Ark of God, which is called the name of the Lord Hosts, who enthroned on the cherubim. They carried the Ark of God on a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abaddon, which was on the hill Uzzah and Ahio. These aren't easy names to pronounce. The sons of Abinadab were driving the new cart with the Ark of God, and Ahio went in front of the Ark. David and all the house of Israel were dancing before the Lord with all their might, with songs and lyres and harps and tambourines and castanets and cymbals. It was told King David, the Lord had blessed the household of Obadiah and all belongings to him because of the Ark of God. So David went and brought up the Ark of God from the house of Obadiah to the city of David with rejoicing. And when those who bore the Ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, he sacrificed an ox and a fatling. David danced before the Lord with all his might. David was girded with linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the Ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. As the Ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, daughter of Saul, looked out of the window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. They brought in the Ark of the Lord and set it in its place inside the tent that David had pitched for it, and David offered burnt offerings and offerings of well-being before the Lord. When David had finished offering the burnt offerings and the offerings of well-being, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts and distributed food among all the people, the whole multitude of Israel, both men and women. To each a cake of bread and a portion of meat and a cake of raisins. Then all the people went back to their homes. And now we'll read from the Gospel, Mark 6, verses 14 through 19, the death of John the Baptist. King Herod heard of it, for Jesus' name had become known. Some were saying John the Baptist had been raised from the dead, and for this reason, these powers are at work in him. But others said, it is Elijah. And others said, it is a prophet, like one of the prophets of old. But when Herod heard of it, he said, John, whom I beheaded, has been raised. For Herod himself had sent men who arrested John, bound him, and put him in prison on account of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because Herod had married her. For John had been telling Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. And Herodias had a grudge against him and wanted to kill him. But she could not, for Herod feared John, knowing that he was a righteous and holy man, and he perfected him. When he heard him, he so was greatly perplexed, yet he liked him and listened. But an opportunity came when Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet for his courtiers and officers. and for the leaders of Galilee. When his daughter Herodias came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his guests. And the king said to the girl, "Ask me for whatever you wish, and I will grant it." And he solemnly swore to her, "Whatever you ask me, I will give you, even half of my kingdom." She went out and said to her mother, "What should I ask for?" She replied, "The head of John the Baptist." Immediately, she rushed back to the kingdom and requested, "I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter." The king was deeply grieved. Yet out of regard for his oath and for the guests, he did not want to refuse her. Immediately, the king sent a soldier of the guard with orders to bring John's head. He went and beheaded him in the prison, brought his head on a platter, and gave it to the girl. Then the girl gave it to her mother. When his disciples heard about it, they came in and took his body and laid it in a tomb. This is the reading of his word. Thanks be to God.
Be seated. There are two banquets, and you are invited. Which one will you attend? Now, if there's one thing that I've already learned about the Boca Grande community, it's that you know how to throw a party. I've heard that in season there are even parties at noon, parties in the mid-afternoon, parties in the evening, and nightcaps all over the island. My first experience of seeing a Boca Grande party was on the night that we moved here. Our moving truck delivered my office furniture here to the church at 11:30 p.m. When they had finished unloading it around midnight, they had driven off, and I locked up the office and went to my car. And exhausted, I sat down and turned the key, and you guessed it, click, click, click. The battery was dead at midnight. I had been shining the lights into the moving truck so the movers could see. So I stood in the road, covered in sweat, dirty. What was I to do? It was after midnight. I'm in a new town. I don't know anyone here. So I walked to see if I could find someone, and I got to the corner of the street, and I heard some noise that sounded like people were having a party. And there it was, glowing as bright as the moon, a bright sign of a martini glass. So looking homeless and lost, I wandered into the temp. And when I walked in, boy, were they having a party. I said, I don't want to interrupt you guys. I'm the new United Methodist minister in town. And I need some help. And if you help me, I'll make sure you get around. So I left the island that night, having been given a gift of grace by a large, burly man who had been partying probably since noon, and let me know he would be praying for me. A feast, a party. King David enjoyed feasting. After his forces had taken Jerusalem, he wished to add to his prestige by making the city a military and political center, and also a religious center. So it was appropriate for him to bring to Jerusalem the Ark of the Covenant. It was like a shining light at midnight to the people to acknowledge that Jerusalem was now the dwelling place of God. And he marked the day, and he arrived at the day with the ark and marked it with a huge banquet. They danced before the Lord with all their might, with songs and with lyres, with harps and tambourines, castanets and cymbals. King David marked the celebration with a banquet, and everyone that was there got to eat. All people were fed. Why? Because the ark represented the presence of God. It was the holiest of holy objects, and it was in town at the center on display. For these persons, God was in town. All were invited to the party. King David's banquet story is a little more appetizing and soul-satisfying than Herod's banquet story. It's more like a tale from the crypt. It's a story that will make you lose your appetite, and I've tasted some pretty disgusting food in my lifetime, but nothing like this. It's one of those passages that end up in the lectionary in the summer. It's a story that's hard to say thanks be to God after you read it, but one that we must look. Herod feared John the Baptist, but he was also fascinated with him. He was drawn to his preaching and enjoyed hearing him speak. John's rhetoric puzzled Herod as John was preaching that a new kingdom was at hand. But John's preaching wasn't enough for Herod to change his life. Herod was a political man, was projected to his community that he was the end-all ruler. John was a prophet who dressed in skin and ate locusts and honey. And at this point, John had been arrested by King Herod. John had a big mouth. You see, John kept reminding Herod that even the king is not above the law of their faith. John told him that point blank, "Hey man, it's not lawful for you to have taken your brother's wife." John was meddling in his business. And so John's family, Herod's family, began to hold a grudge. And beyond this is the fact that John was preaching repentance and that the kingdom of God was coming among the people. God was coming to town. The center of the community life in this story isn't the Ark of the Covenant coming to town. It is God's self coming to town. And that changes things. Herod would not be the center anymore. Herod had stolen his brother's wife, Herodias. Anybody have any of that stuff going on in your family? Now, it would be understandable if this were where the story ended. The king didn't like this desert preacher, calling him a sinner, so he had him beheaded. End of story. Simple enough. Yet in this case, we learn that Herod actually liked to listen to John. Herod thought he was a holy man. He, in some ways, protected him. And maybe in Herod's mind, he thought if he threw him in jail under lock and key, he might have a little bit more time to be removed from harm's way. But life has a funny way of pressuring us to do things we wouldn't normally do. So Herod held a cocktail party and a banquet with his inner circle of great men. Commentators say that possibly in attendance would have been local military commanders and Roman officers and militia leaders. It was a party to display his power and prestige and to schmooze his community connections. So imagine yourself throwing a party with the most powerful leader, a king, and long into the party walks in a beautiful girl who knew how to work it. Herodias, her daughter puts on a big, arousing display for the drunken Herod, dancing in a way that moved him to the point that he made some big promises to this girl. She worked it so well that Herod promised her that he would give her anything she wanted, even half of my entire kingdom. She must have really known how to dance. Out of all the possibilities for her to choose, she chooses the head of a prophet. She had it in with John because she was aware that John didn't agree with their familial relationship. Herod never dreamed that she would ask for John's head. He was grieved at her request, grieved because he feared the crowd beyond his palace, because they revered John as a prophet, grieved also because he was drawn in a way to what John said. But his guest had heard his oath. How could he disappoint his guest? Who knows what the officers might tell someone higher up? So Herod gave the command, and soon the head of John the Baptist was brought out on a platter, as though it was the last course of a meal. And then the dancing girl gifted it to her mother. Happy Mother's Day. Herod could have made a different choice, but you see, the empire had replaced God in his life. For Herod, he was the center of his life. Though he loved John the Baptist, he couldn't risk his own reputation to spare his life. The empire shaped his values and decisions. And friends, we must not be naive. Empires can shape our values and our decisions. Humanity is capable of choosing Herodian banqueting. Just ask the congregation of Mother Emmanuel African Methodist Episcopal Church, where 9 people were killed while studying their Bibles just a few weeks ago, falling victim to someone's personal empire of supremacy. Or just review the beheading model of execution of Christians by ISIS, who have fallen victim to injustice and persecution granted to them through Herodian banqueting. Let us not be naive. The list goes on. There are two banquets and you are invited. Which one will you attend? John came to testify to the light. That's what we read in the Gospels. John may have lost his head, but the light of Christ was only intensified. Jesus now is in town at the center and on display. Jesus changes what it means to host a banquet. Mark's gospel is full of juxtapositions. Right after the story of Herod's banquet, we find that Jesus hosts a banquet. In Mark 6, as the banquet stories unfold, Jesus ends up feeding 5,000 people. Food is shared and multiplied, and no one is left hungry. Into Herod's kingdom comes Jesus, and Jesus comes with an alternative vision. The kingdom of God has come near you, he said. It was a threatening and dangerous word to his empire. It was a word that interrupted the status quo of power and prestige. This kingdom, God's kingdom, would be inclusive of all people. The banquet would not be held in a palace among the elite, but rather it would be held all over town and with everyone. The kingdom of God, over and over, Jesus taught about it, told parables about it, and lived it wherever he went. And in Jesus' banquet story in Mark 6, he brought his kingdom vision to the crowds who interrupted his solitary time of prayer. When the hour grew late, the disciples said, "This is a deserted place. Send the crowds away so that they may go into the village and find food for themselves." Everything rational shouts, "Oh, good idea." Herod would have said, "Great idea. Send them away to fend for themselves." But Jesus said, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." And with 5 loaves and 2 fishes, a banquet began that fed 5,000 people. This is what happens when Jesus ushers the kingdom of God into town. He makes sure that everyone gets invited to the banquet. And as we heard in our Old Testament reading, King David paved the way for the ark to be the center. In Mark's gospel, John the Baptizer paved the way for Jesus to be the center. And Jesus desires to be more than the center of town. Jesus desires to be the center of your heart. And Jesus desires to be the center of our community. Do you feel like a stranger? Jesus welcomes you. Have you been labeled an outcast? Jesus has set you a place at the table. Are you hungry for more meaning in your life than you can give yourself? Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is bread for the world. Jesus is wine spilled out for all to drink. If you are hungry and thirsty today, fill your soul with Jesus. There is a place for you at God's banquet table. Are you sweaty and dirty with a dead battery? Wander around the corner and Jesus will be there to help. You're welcome at the banquet table of Jesus. Jesus invites us to God's kingdom banquet. Come and hunger no more. Come and never thirst again. Hallelujah. Ephesians 1, 5 through 10, which is the assigned epistle lesson for today, reads, "God destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise and the glorious grace that he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace that He lavished upon us. In Christ we have also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of Him who accomplishes all things according to His counsel and will. There is a place at God's banquet table with your name on it, freely given by grace. We're commissioned to invite all the world to the banquet of Jesus. Like John, we may know who we are, and may we receive the call to testify to the light. Death does not have the last word in John's story. Blood is not the final legacy of the baptizer. Death does not have the final word for those who fall victim to the world's empires. Death does not have your final word. There is hope, eternal hope. John succeeded in making a way where there seemed to be no way. As one who came to testify to the light, he completed his purpose and his call, giving himself with complete abandon. He himself was not the light, the Gospel of John points out. But John the Baptist shimmered with steadfast purpose and with joy that marked his life from the moment that he met Jesus. There are two banquets. You were invited. Which one will you attend? You're welcome at the banquet of Jesus. Our lives are filled with choices, aren't they? Herod chose loyalty to the empire and presided over a banquet of death. And late into the night, it was all over. Jesus began a banquet in the kingdom of God that is eternal. God's kingdom will have no end. And we can only imagine the glory and splendor of Christ's heavenly banquet as all things are gathered up in Him, things on heaven and earth. And may we today, like John, shimmer with steadfast purpose as we receive the light, share the light, and be the light of Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. Amen. Oh God, we come this morning realizing that we live in a world where our hearts, lives, motivations, and purpose can be pulled towards empire. And yet we live in a world where Your presence is everywhere, calling us into Your kingdom. And we pray this morning that Your kingdom would be birthed in us, that we might be Your hands and feet and voice to invite others to this heavenly banquet. We pray that we would make Your kingdom first in our lives. We pray that we would live out the vision that You have given us to receive the light, share the light, and be the light. We pray that we would put You first in all things. And we pray this morning for those of us who in our hearts may feel like we don't deserve a place at Your table. We're not worthy for a place at Your table. For those of us that feel like an outcast, we pray today that Your Spirit would gently guide us to our place. And may we have a foretaste of Your heavenly banquet, where there will be peace and justice and eternal life. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is 708, Rejoice in God's Saints. Let's stand together. And now may you go in the peace and the love of God and in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit into the world to invite others to God's banquet. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.